Hello, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy event. We're thrilled and honored to have you here with us. This is year 6 for this event. And I'm your host, and I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I have such an incredible panel of experts on this event. And I'm so thrilled and delighted to have back with us one of my favorite returning experts, and that's my dear friend, the lovely Lisa Copeland. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle. It's wonderful to be back here with you.
Yeah, so happy to have you here. Lisa and I were reflecting just a moment ago about the fact that we've done several of these together, and Lisa has become a dear friend, and I really, really appreciate her and the work she's doing in the world. And so we're honored to have you back, Lisa. Thank you.
And I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
So we're going to be talking today about you can find love after 50. Mm-hmm. And I love this topic because I know both you and I work with a lot of women over 50. And I absolutely believe that's true. So before we get into the main conversation, though, Lisa, I know many of the women will be familiar with you and your work, but I want to do just a little introduction. Sound good?
Sure.
Lisa Copeland is a leading internationally recognized love coach and dating expert for women over 50. She inspires and teaches women how to feel lovable and empowered as they travel the journey of finding love in the second half of their life with a quality man. She's the author of The Winning Dating Formula for Women Over 50, and you can get her free ebook, The 5 Little Known Secrets to Finding a Quality Man, at findaqualityman.com. Plus, we have a free gift at the end, which we'll tell you about too. So, Lisa, I want to dive into this topic about you can find love after 50. Before we really get into the nitty-gritty of this, though, I know that you and I every day talk to women, some who question whether or not it's still possible to find love after 50, after 60, as they move through the years. So I'd love to hear your perspective on that. I've already said I absolutely believe that you can, but I'd love to hear your perspective on that, and not only what you believe about it, but why you think that's possible.
I do think it's possible to find love after 50. I've had many clients find love after 50 with both marriages, relationships, long-term boyfriends they live with and don't live with. And I think the reason they have found it is a couple things. One, they're willing to take action. So many people focus on the problems, and you need the solution to be able to move forward. When you're focused on the problem, all you're doing is staying in the problem. So I think that's number one. The solution for at least my clients is an 8-step system that we do together. And when they follow it, when they truly follow it, they can find love. Now, it does take persistence and it takes consistency. And that's at any age. You have to be out there dating. But by having the dating strategies and the dating skills and the dating support to keep you moving forward one step at a time, that is when you can find love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Lisa, I want to ask you this question. From your perception, what are some of the things that are different about dating after 50 for women than maybe in their 20s, 30s, even 40s? What are some of the key differences?
I think the big difference is how we feel about ourselves that we have to overcome. We're always looking in the mirror and we're seeing all the things that are wrong versus all the things that are right. And I think this is the biggest thing to overcome, because we look in the mirror and we compare ourselves to how we looked in our 20s and 30s and 40s. And we looked younger. We did. There's no doubt about that. But the thing you have to understand is that men, they don't know what you looked like when you were younger. So they're attracted to you how you look today. And, you know, that's a huge difference. We don't realize. We keep thinking, oh my God, they know what we look like at our 20s, but they don't. They don't. In fact, I remember Way back, I had a boyfriend. I showed him a picture of me in my 20s, and he said, "Who is that?" That's how different we look. We see ourselves aging. We see ourselves every day, so we don't see the aging process the same way. But he said, "I think you look even better now." God bless him.
You know? God bless him.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're bringing up a couple of really important points here. One is that I do think as women, we do tend to be hypercritical of ourselves, our looks, and our flaws. And part of that is because of the societal influences and emphasis on youth and that sort of thing. And I think you're right. I don't think we necessarily see our own aging process in the same way as we might see it for other people. But the other thing that men have told me, and I think you'll back me up on this, Lisa, is not only are they attracted to who you are right now, but they see your beauty and not your flaws. If a man is attracted to you, he sees your beauty and not your flaws. And I've interviewed hundreds of men over the last few years in my man panels and things like that. And this has come through so clearly. And I've even had men say, "So for heaven's sakes, ladies, don't point out your flaws to us."
For sure. And I think what we do is we look at the parts and pieces of ourselves. If you ask any woman what her flaws are, she can point them out for sure. Mm-hmm. If you ask her what she loves about herself, it's really hard for them to do. In fact, that's a huge thing I do with my clients when we first start working together, is to really get back in touch with the good things. But I once had a man say to me, "We don't fall in love with your parts and pieces. You're in there critical about it, but we're not like that. We either like you how you are or we don't. And if we don't, if we're not attracted to you, we move on." And it's not that not liking you how you are is not about you personally. It's just like when you choose a man that, or when you see a man that you don't particularly like the way he looks, it's the same thing. It's just personal preference. It's not a personal thing about you. And that's something we really need to remember, because we take every bit of this very personally at many times. And so that's why it's so important to know what is so amazing about you, what you love about yourself. And even if you don't love it, have gratitude for it, because like our arms, which are changing, for example, you can have gratitude for your arms, because they can hug the people you love. And that's a huge difference. And then we can accept that more easily. And then we can love that part of our body as a result of the gratitude we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also love to remind women that are at this stage and age and station in life. I mean, I'm in my 50s, and I know you're a little bit past that, right?
64.
But, you know, I also like to remind women in our age and station in life, if you will, Lisa, because I consider you to be a contemporary, is that we need to be proud of not only who we are and see our beauty, but to recognize the things we've gone through in our lives, the things that we've accomplished, survived, made it through. And, you know, some of these, I can see sometimes when I look at a wrinkle in my face or whatever, I can see, I'm like, you know what, I earned that, you know, that this is some living that I did and some wisdom that I've gained. And there are men out there that are going to appreciate not only your physical attributes as they are now, the right man also is going to be able to see you, like you said, as that whole person, which encompasses who you've become as a result of going through all of these life experiences. But you're right, a lot of this begins with us appreciating those things in ourselves, and we get out of touch with that sometimes.
Very out of touch with it. And I think especially as we age, because I also work with many women in their 60s, it's really important to really at that time come to love yourself. And I've had lots of clients in their 60s find love as a result of that inner glow that they ignite when they feel that confidence about who they are at this time in their lives. Another thing about being in your 60s to feel good about yourself is it's a great time to just do some style updating. Sometimes we get in huge ruts with our clothing, with our hair, with our makeup, and it's worth treating yourself to just doing some updating. You'll feel better, you'll feel more confident, and you'll look in the mirror when you feel better. That makes you glow. And when you glow, that's what men are attracted to you, to in you. It is really your glow that they love.
Yeah, I love that you said that, Lisa. And I think that's so important because I do think at any age, especially as we get a little older, sometimes we get stuck in a little bit of a time warp where we're maybe wearing the same hair, makeup, or clothes or whatever that we thought we looked great in back when we were 35 or 40 or whatever age. And an update can really be a boost to your confidence. And I can remember one of my clients, you reminded me when you said this, in her 60s, who she said when she went out, she felt invisible. And she did exactly what we were talking about. She got a little bit of a style update, a little bit of a makeover, and she was out there feeling really good in her skin. Even in her 60s, she's feeling really good in her skin. And she started noticing that she was getting more attention and noticed and interacting with people. And it was really, I think, not just about the makeover, but it was about her energy. It was how she was showing up because she felt better in her skin. She was energetically showing up more in that way that invited those interactions.
That's the glow. And the other thing that happens when you have the glow is you are actually smiling. And then you'll watch people smile at you and you think, am I smiling? And yeah, you probably are. And that is what people are attracted to, men are attracted to in you.
Yeah. Well, it makes it safe for them to approach, right?
Right.
We don't look like we're going to bite their head off or we're not giving them the death stare.
Yeah, very true.
One of my other clients called it. She's like, not only was I not smiling, I actually realized I was giving men the death stare.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people actually frown more than they know. And a lot of that has to do with the lines that we get right here. Mm-hmm. And so it can make us look like versus. So it's, you know, it's really important to be out there smiling. And when you feel good, you naturally smile.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to shift our conversation a little bit to men in the 50 and above category. So how do you think men are different when they're out there dating at this stage in life, 50 and above, than when they were younger? What are some of the key differences for men?
I think there's a couple of things. One, I think that men, when they're younger, are way more sexual. And it is very much about physical relationships, that physical extreme attraction, will I sleep with you, that kind of thing. And as they get over 50, I think friendship starts to become important to them as well. And it's a little more balanced. Actually, I'd say a lot more balanced as men age. And because there's certain dysfunction happening for everybody in their bodies as they age. And it's really tough on men that are having sexual dysfunction. So they can compensate for it in other ways, but they are not all just about sex as they were when they were younger. The other thing about men is they've gone through sort of their own male menopause. And I think Alison Armstrong is the most amazing at describing the way that men travel through life. Mm-hmm. And they know more of what they want. And I think men at this age are way more about making you happy than they have ever been in their lives. I think when they were building, as Allison would say, their kingdom, then, you know, with how they were going to be when they were younger, they were really about more about themselves and more about building everything so they could provide for their family. Now at these ages, they really do want to make you happy. They just will jump hoops to do it. And it's just important that we let them, without a lot of criticism, which we can really do. If it's not our way, we can do that. And that's because we have this little book of how to do everything sitting right here in our heads. And I may have told this story before, but a perfect example is back when, you know, back in the day, maybe like 15 years ago, I was dating a guy and he was an electrical engineer. He was renowned around the world for being an electrical engineer, and he wanted to change my dimmer switches. And I said, oh my gosh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you. And he ran out and he got everything he needed. And there he is. He comes back. He looked adorable. I can still remember he had on jeans and these work boots and this t-shirt. He looked pretty sexy. And there he is with a screwdriver and all the wires. And here I come up behind him and I say to him, "Are you sure this wire goes here or that? Now, do I know anything about electricity? No, but I have that little book of how to fix everything." So he sweetly took my face in his hands and he said to me, "Lisa, if you don't let me do my job, I'll never do another thing for you." So it's really important that we learn to receive, and we learn to also receive without criticism. Because when we criticize a man, it's the same as when you say to a little puppy, "No, no, no," and their head goes down and their tail goes between their legs. That's what you're doing to a man when you criticize him. And you're also training him to stop giving to you and to stop trying to make you happy, because he figures he'll never win. He just quits. He'll stop. Mm-hmm. So we do train men that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that story. And thank you so much for sharing that, because it's a perfect example of this principle that we're talking about. So, Lisa, I want to ask you another thing that I hear all of the time from women 50 and above, when they're like out online dating and that sort of thing. They'll say, "The men that are in my age category, they look so old. They look like they could be my dad or my grandpa."
Yeah.
Funny I know you hear this one too.
I do. And the funny thing is, men think a lot of women look like their aunt or their grandma. So, because we don't see ourselves aging, which we talked about earlier.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do we do with that? Because then the women say, "And I need to be attracted." Of course, attraction is important, even at this stage in life. And I think it's still important to men too, even though maybe the sexual, aspect of it, is a little more balanced. It's still important, but their immediate reaction is, "I don't want to date any of these guys because they all look so old." So what do we do with that? How do we manage it? And knowing maybe we don't see our own aging, what do we do? What do we do? What's your suggestions?
Well, here's one of the problems, and that's with online dating, is that it's one-dimensional, meaning you are only seeing a picture. And some people don't photograph well, but you go into real life and you see someone's energy and personality and looks all combined, and they can be like suddenly from to, "Oh my God, he's cute." And it's really important that if some man's profile seems interesting or seems like he's just a nice guy, just give him a chance, because you really don't know what his personality is like. And that's what's going to make the difference. But I know what you're saying. I had a friend, we've been friends since our firstborns were born, and that's like 38 years ago. And then we had daughters at the same age, none intended. We met at Lamaze. But anyway, her husband died, and we're all sitting, our daughters and my friend and I are sitting at the table, and she's online and she's swiping, right and left, and she's going, "Nope, nope. Nope, not attracted. Nope, not attracted, not attracted." And even her daughter said to her, "Mom, you are being so picky. Some of these guys are actually really cute." And so it is important to give men a chance. Also, as we age, we don't hold our looks the same as we did in our 20s. And I got to tell you, that's a little of what we're looking for in men still too. What they were like maybe in their 30s and 40s. We're still looking for, women are still looking for that. And we have a hard time with the aging process because we don't like thinking we've aged and we see them age. So it's really important, though, give these guys a chance. Their energy could be like amazing, and that could make them a lot younger than they appear in a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you're speaking about this, I was thinking back to a client I had a few years back in her 60s, and she met this guy online, and this goes right in alignment with what we're talking about here. And initially she saw him online, wasn't super attracted. She even met him in person, and on the first date wasn't really attracted because he wasn't her type. you know, quotations type. She thought he was a little too skinny and he'd lost his hair on top and everything. And as we talked more about the date that they'd been on, you know, she said what she did like was that he was really clearly interested in her. She liked how he treated him, how he treated her. She liked a lot of the ways he was showing up, you know, in terms of their interactions, and she felt good and comfortable around him. So I encouraged her, based on how she'd experienced him, to go out with him again. And she ended up going out with him again and then again. And she, her attraction for him just grew and grew because she began to see him as this amazing man. His energy, what you're talking about, how he was showing up for her and how she felt in his presence, she began to develop a lot of attraction for him. And they're married today, built a house together, and have this wonderful marriage relationship. And that would have never happened if she had pulled the plug when she initially saw him online or even on that first date. And I'm sure you've got examples or instances of women who initially didn't think someone was going to be their guy and they ended up being incredibly attracted to them.
That's how it happens a lot of times, because we do think we have a certain type we have to be with. And the other thing, and that doesn't necessarily mean that's the right person for us, especially if we've dated him over and over again, it means he's probably not. Another thing about over 60s men is what we don't realize, and when we're looking for a man who looks like our father, our grandfather, whatever. And the other thing is all our looks change over time. My father's 96. He's in independent living. And I go in there and I think these people are adorable. I mean, some of them do look older, but some, like my father, looks so young. And what we don't realize, though, and I see this happening there where these people become couples, we start looking for different things as we age. And this is one of the things when you're dating over 50, you want to think about. You want someone for companionship, for someone to have, you know, to play with. You want intimacy, however that looks. And you also want someone who's going to support you and have your back so you don't have to do it all yourself anymore. And when I help women get clear on the right man for them, we do this meditation. Not one in the meditation says chemistry is the thing. What they say is, I feel really safe. I feel really loved. I feel adored and cherished. These are the things you want to be looking for. And there are some really good men out there who want to give that to a woman, and we're not letting them. You know, we're looking for Tom Cruise or George Clooney, who may be great or not great guys, whatever they are. We're missing the inside things that make a man so valuable. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think it's so true. I think it's so resonant. And in saying that, of course, we're not saying that attraction's not important, because attraction is important, but there's different kinds and levels of attraction. And the physical attraction is just one of those. And yes, all of our looks change over time, both men and women. And there are some men out there who age, you know, don't age very well, just like there are some women out there that don't age very well. I think more and more women are aging a little bit more gracefully. I don't know if it's because we've had skincare products available to us for a longer time, or life hasn't been so rough and hard as it might have been on some of our predecessors. I don't know. But nonetheless, I think the point here is to be willing to give people a chance in the three-dimensional world, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so if a guy looks, you know, people, or let me back that up as to, a lot of women will say to me, well, he looked good on paper, and then when I met him, he wasn't. Sometimes you might want to look at a guy who you're not so attracted to initially, their picture, but see what they look like in their profile, and then meet them, because there may be a lot there. I've seen it over and over again with men that just so want to give to somebody and they get passed over because they're not as thin as maybe someone should be, or they're not as cute, or they wear glasses, or, you know, whatever it is, we're passing them over. And we don't like it either. Women don't like it either when men pass women over too, for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. So give men a chance, because they may offer you, just like with your client, an amazing life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that as you go through life and as you continue to age and get older, some of these other qualities and characteristics can become even more important to you than they might have been in earlier years. You know, that companionship, not having to do everything yourself, knowing you've got someone there to support you. I'm not talking necessarily financially, but to support your life and to support you in helping you with the things that you need or want. Just someone to be there, someone to come home to, or someone to snuggle with, or someone to share the adventures of life with. That can become so incredibly meaningful. And the cool thing about this later stages in life, as we start, you know, getting into the 50s, 60s, 70s, is a lot of times you have more time for some of these kinds of things than you might have had in your earlier, in the earlier stages of your life. Both of you were really immersed or involved in careers or those kinds of things, right?
Yeah. I also think as you're aging, you have more relationships available to you as well. You don't have to get married like you did when you were younger and you wanted to build a family. You can marry, you can live with someone, you can be committed and live apart. You can sleep in the same bedroom, you can sleep separate. They have actually done some studies. One appeared in the Wall Street Journal recently that there are some very happy couples that met in their 50s, 60s, and 70s that live apart, and they're extremely happy. So I know a lot of women are very worried about giving up their independence, giving up their home, giving themselves up, which is what in many ways we were taught to do, to make, you know, to give our, to bend like a pretzel for a man. And you have way more solutions of how a man fits in your life than you ever did before. And it's important to like open up to those possibilities and to see what that's like to do something besides just get married. And a lot of people don't want to get married because of the financial issues, and they're still happy. There's all kinds of ways to have a relationship at this age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, interesting, because I recently did a little YouTube video, Lisa, on some of the reasons I believe you're actually more likely to find real love a little later in life. And part of the advantage that I think you have, I think I talked about 7 or 10 things as to reasons why I feel like this is not only possible, but even more likely. But one of the things is I think at this stage in life, we know ourselves better. We know who we are. Like me, in my 30s, I was still trying to figure out who in the world I was. I was still trying to navigate that. So had I met someone and married at that stage, I probably would have chosen someone totally different and perhaps wrong for me. But I think we have the advantage of having life experience that gives us more wisdom and knowledge about who we are. And I think that helps us to be able to draw in or attract or partner with someone that might even be more compatible or more likely to provide us with that kind of love that we desire a little later in life. So I kind of turn this idea that it's harder kind of on its upside downside, if you will, and said there are actually some advantages to finding love later in life.
I agree. But I think one of the problems women have is they do know themselves well. So then they say, I'm not going to settle. But truthfully, what's happening is they become very picky and it becomes a protection mechanism versus open to the possibilities mechanism for being really happy. And it keeps you alone. And it keeps you from seeing good guys. And settling is about letting a guy in who has your deal breakers, thinking he will change because he loves you enough. That is settling. If you really want that companionship, that's someone to love you, who's a good person, there's nothing with settling there.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. And I like the way you define that, settling, because we do hear that all the time. I'm not going to settle. But settling doesn't mean what we might define it as. And I agree with you, it can become like a protective mechanism where that becomes a barrier to letting anyone in. Because if we're looking, we can find something wrong with pretty much anybody out there, right?
Right, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Lisa, I know that you have a I know that you have a really great free gift here And I think this could be really helpful because I do think that one of the things that is tricky is first dates, right? I think we've all had first date disasters and we've all had terror over first dates for one reason or another. So do you want to share a little bit with us about your free gift?
I'd love to. So my free gift is called My 35 Best First Date Questions. And the reason I came up with this is I had so many clients say to me, I don't know what to talk about on a first date, or a guy gets going just talking about himself, and then I don't know where to go from there. So I came up with these questions, and the wonderful thing about these questions is instead of going on a date with a resume idea in your head of I have to see if his dating resume is for me, you go on a date to share history, to get to know somebody. You go to a little deeper level with these questions. And when you do that versus the normal, how many kids do you have? Where do you live? Are you still working? What do you do? Instead of doing that, you're sharing history. You're going to find out about their personality, because when people share things from their childhood, or, you know, one of the questions is, what games did you play when you were young? Well, you can laugh about some of the games. Like, I remember we had creepy crawlers. We made creepy crawlers, and it was some plastic thing that you stuck in this open hot tray, and you always got burned. Now, today, that would never be allowed, but you go back. I mean, and you talk about things that you had when you were kids, and it helps bring out people's personalities versus those resume questions where it's very dry and you really don't get... to see someone who someone really is. And this is kind of what we've been talking about all along. This is going to help you give a guy a chance to sort of blossom right in front of you by sharing his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, Lisa. Thank you so much for that. And for everyone watching or listening, the link to get the 35 questions is right below the audio or video that you're watching from, and you'll want to pick that up. It'll be available throughout the rest of the event, but make sure you get it now so you don't miss out. And Lisa, I really love connecting with you, and I really love your generosity and sharing, and really appreciate your contribution to the event again. Thank you so much.
Oh, so fun being here, Michelle. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. And to everyone out there listening, Lisa and I thank you for joining us. We know that the fact that you're here speaks to you and who you are, that you're committed to having the kind of life and love that you truly desire. And so we're cheering you on, sending you love, and hoping you'll join us for more of Ready for the Right Guy. Bye for now.